Hi, this is What You Say in English, Season 3, Episode 21.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of What You Say in English, the podcast in which I listen to you and give you my professional feedback. I want to cover a bit of writing this time, since reviews are present in pretty much all the levels, that is, starting from B2 onwards. I thought that my going to see the latest installment of Shazam, yep, I know, I'm a geek at heart and I love superhero films, I thought that speaking about Shazam would be a great way to teach you about reviews. What they are, how important it is to keep the target reader in mind, and how that determines pretty much everything else. I mean, not only the tone of your review, but also the choice of words, grammar, and a lot of other things. For Cambridge exams, a review may be about a book, a magazine, film, play, or concert, but it may also be about, for example, an exhibition. The target reader is specified in the question, so the candidate knows not only what register is appropriate, but also has an idea about the kind of information to include. A review does not merely require general description of, for example, an event or publication, but it specifies the particular aspects to be considered. For example, the review may employ narrative as well as descriptive and evaluative language, and a range of other relating, for example, to literature and the media such as cinema or TV. In order to become familiar with what is required of a review, students should read and discuss a range of reviews such as can be found in various magazines and newspapers or in specialized podcasts. Take this episode, for example. The language appropriate to a review will include, for example, language for describing, narrating, and evaluating, and students should try to extend their vocabulary to include that related to literature and the media. So, buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy, because Kansas is going to bye-bye. This is obviously a movie reference, and to find out, stay until the end of the episode to learn what it means and where I got the expression from. I previously mentioned that reviews are a type of article written for publication in a magazine, newspaper, website, etc., giving a brief description and evaluation of a film, book, play, TV series, documentary, a product or app. These are very common, by the way. An event, and that event could be a concert, an exhibition, or some other type of event, and a place. That place could be a restaurant, a gym, museum, gallery, etc., you name it. The purpose of a review is to give our opinion about something, but we might also be asked to do a combination of the following. And take your pencils and or your pens and take note of this, because this is what the reviews will contain mostly. So basically, the review will begin with a description. Describe. For example, give details about the characters in a film, the songs on an album, the style of writing in a book, the things in an art exhibition, performance at a concert, the food in a restaurant, which is typical in very restaurant reviews, features of a product or app, for example. They will also include elements of narration. So you have to narrate. For example, you have to probably give a synopsis, a rundown, overview of a film, a book, or a TV series, documentary, exhibition, restaurant, museum, you name it. You also have to explain. You have to say why you think the film or book or TV series or documentary or all the things that I mentioned were special, or why it was successful or not successful. And finally, you have to evaluate. And that evaluation can be whether, if it's a film, a program, if it's worth watching. For example, if a book is worth reading, or an exhibition, restaurant, or museum is worth visiting, or a product or app is worth buying or even trying. Another aspect is that usually at B, I would say at C1, not really B2, but at C1 and definitely C2, you can probably compare two things. So you can compare, for example, to films, you can compare to apps, or you can compare to gyms. Recently, in one of my classes, we did a review about two gyms. So reviews may be formal or informal in style, depending on the intended readership. For example, at B2, reviews tend to be more informal as they'd be published in a school magazine or website. At C1 or C2, they can be either way, and you'll have to put yourself in the position of the target reader. Try asking yourself, what kind of review would I expect to read from this publication? So generally, the reviews are usually written using present tenses. And this is very important, so you keep in mind the kind of tenses that you use are present simple. Well, present tenses in general. I'm not only talking about present simple, but present continuous or present perfect. This is because they are intended to provide a current assessment or evaluation of a particular product, service, or experience. By using the present tense, the reviewer can convey their opinions and impressions as if they were experiencing them or the event or the trying the item, if it's a product, for example, in the moment, even if the actual experience occurred in the past. Using the present tense also helps you to create a sense of immediacy and urgency in the review, making it more engaging and relevant to the reader. Additionally, the present tense can help to emphasize the reviewer's opinions and make them more persuasive, as they are presented as if they are universally true at the time of writing. This is the power of the present simple, the present tenses, people. In terms of language, using a variety of adjectives and adverbs makes a review more interesting. Think of things like an outstanding soundtrack, riveting plot. The word riveting means captivating, or it means engaging, or wonderful, fantastic. To add emphasis, you can use adverbs such as extremely, completely, absolutely. For example, if you're reviewing a restaurant, you can say the food was absolutely delicious. But keep in mind that these adverbs are extreme adverbs, and they have to be used with extreme adjectives. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you better check your grammar book and look for extreme adverbs and extreme adjectives, especially because in reviews, you may probably have to use them. We can also use intensifiers, for example, very or extremely. The same adverbs that we mentioned before are also intensifiers. And basically, they're used to enhance the meaning of an adjective. For example, he gave an extremely convincing performance. And this is, of course, talking about the performance of an actor in a film or, let's say, play at the theater. Since not all adverbs and adjectives collocate with every noun, you should be careful to avoid mistakes. Let me give you an example. Exceptionally moving would be okay, but if you say the movie was totally moving, no. We don't say that's not a collocation in English. We can say the story was absolutely breathtaking. We never say things like extremely breathtaking. So that's not a collocation in English. When writing reviews, you should use formal linking devices, of course, if it's a formal review, to organize your writing. Such devices, and let me talk to you about them. So you can, as a first point, the devices that can help you organize information, you can use pronominal, pronouns, and adjectives. I know it sounds a little difficult, but basically is the use of reference words, such as this, these, it, they, his, her, whatever, which either replace the noun or qualify it. For example, the soprano gave a stirring performance. The soprano singing made some of the audience cry. Of course, I mentioned the soprano twice, and you might probably want to use a pronoun in this case to avoid repetition. So you can say something like, the soprano gave a stirring performance, it made some of the audience cry. Or her singing made some of the audience cry. So in this case, I'm using a pronominal adjective. You can also use relative pronouns and adverbs. For example, the relative pronouns with the typical ones, who, whom, which, whose, and relative adverbs like where, when, whenever, wherever. And these are used to replace the noun. For example, instead of saying, the film features a young cast. The young cast are largely unknown actors. Of course, this is a missed opportunity. I'm talking about a B2 level. That would be a missed opportunity. Of course, you're repeating young cast, but in this case, you can actually combine the two simple sentences and create a more complex, diverse sentence. Something like, the film features a young cast who are largely unknown actors. And finally, I want to cover a little bit about discourse markers. Of course, the discourse markers will depend on the register, but if you want to go for a formal review, words or phrases that play a role in managing the flow of discourse and making what we say stronger are these discourse markers. And we can use expressions like on the contrary or on the other hand, which is very typical. But you can also include adverbs frankly, quite frankly, which is a little more conversational, as a matter of fact, indeed, etc., and other examples. Let me give you an example from a review. You can say, if you want to say, for example, this film would appeal to the whole family, you can actually make it a little stronger if you say, in fact, this film would appeal to the whole family. So there you go. You didn't have to do a lot of changes, just including a discourse marker in the beginning. Now let me talk to you about the plan. Depending on the level, the outline for reviews, I usually recommend revolves around 4 paragraphs. In paragraph 1, include background information. These are the details that any reader would need, first and foremost, to know what you're reviewing. For example, the name of the film, book, writer, and believe it or not, I've read reviews that don't even mention the name of the film. This is a great mistake. The writer, the director, the main stars, characters, location, atmosphere, you know, the details that you need to know about the place. So you can locate mentally, you can locate in what you're reviewing. In paragraphs 2 and 3, include the details requested by the rubric, the question in the exam paper. For example, description, narration, analysis, evaluation, etc. A common problem that students usually have is writing too much plot. This is, of course, if you're reviewing a film or a book. This is generally not recommended because it does not demonstrate the critical thinking and analytical skills that are required in academic writing. Spoiler alert, you'll be penalized if you do so. In these types of exams, the focus is often on evaluating the student's ability to analyze and interpret the key themes, the ideas, and techniques used in the film, rather than simply summarizing the plot. There's nothing interesting about reading what the movie is about. Nobody wants to know what's going to happen in the film. And by providing a detailed summary of the plot, the student may be using up valuable word count and missing the opportunity to demonstrate their critical thinking skills. It can also make the review sound overly descriptive and lacking in depth or analysis. And this is for my people at C1 and C2 levels, which is an aspect that becomes more important at these levels. Now, to finish it up, in paragraph 4, you can give your overall assessment of what is being reviewed and or is positive, negative, your recommendation. Usually, Cambridge exams tend to ask for reviews on the positive side. They tend to be rather positive. Again, you should always try to be positive in your review. Even if your experience wasn't that good, think about it. Would you really like to read a review that only remarks on the negative aspects of a film, book, restaurant, or whatnot? Would you think that the reviewer was absolutely fair with it? Think honestly. These are all questions to keep in mind when you're planning your review. Even if the task explicitly asks you to say whether you have positive or negative opinions, as a good writer, you need to be respectful of what you're reviewing. Now, to finish this section, I want to give you a B2 review sample, and I want to show you what a B2 level review looks like. So this is the question that you would get asked in the exam. Your teacher has asked you to write about a film you have seen recently for the school's English magazine. Write a review for the magazine, including a brief description of the plot, giving your opinions on the film, and saying who you would recommend it to. Write between 140 and 190 words. And the sample would be, it's about the trial of the Chicago 7. Okay, so here it is. I recently watched the film, The Trial of the Chicago 7, directed by Aaron Sorkin, and it left me speechless. The movie is based on a true story and set in the late 1960s. The plot revolves around seven anti-Vietnam War protesters who were charged with inciting a riot at the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago. The film's cast, including Eddie Redmayne, Sacha Baron Cohen, and Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, deliver outstanding performances, and the direction and writing are both top-notch. The film's pacing and editing keep you hooked, and the screenplay is engaging, with moments of humor and drama. The film's portrayal of the political climate of the time and the issues at stake is both informative and relevant to today's world. It highlights the tension between the government and citizens to protest and dissent. Overall, I highly recommend The Trial of the Chicago 7 to anyone who enjoys thought-provoking films that provide insights into historical events. It is a compelling and poignant story that will leave a lasting impression on its viewers. Now, I know it sounds a little pompous, and quite honestly, a few words would definitely be considered C1, basically. But I am convinced, and I've had students at B2 that would produce something this good. But let me give you my analysis of this review. In this review of The Trial of the Chicago 7, I have provided a combination of description, narration, explanation, and evaluation as required in the review. Now, for description, I have given a brief description of the film's plot and the main characters in the movie. I don't have to remember the characters, and I can always come up with this information. I can invent the names. Remember that in the Cambridge exams, you're not penalized for not telling the truth, as long as it's done in good English. Now, the narration. I have narrated the events that take place in the film and the issues that it raises. In terms of explanation, I have explained why I think the film is excellent and provided insights into the political climate of the time. And to end, I finished with an evaluation. I have evaluated the film and recommended it to those who enjoy thought-provoking films that provide insights into historical events. Additionally, I have used formal linking devices to organize my writing. I have used pronouns and adjectives, a lot of adjectives, to be honest, to replace and qualify the nouns and relative pronouns and adverbs to replace nouns and to provide additional information. For example, the film's cast, including Eddie Redmayne, Sacha Baron Cohen, and Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, deliver outstanding performances. So I'm using that collocation, outstanding performances. Another example is the film's portrayal. I'm using portrayal because it's a very specific term that would be expected in reviews. The film's portrayal of the political climate of the time and the issues at stake is both informative and relevant to today's world. So I'm using informative and relevant. These are great adjectives for B2. I have also used discourse markers such as overall to finish with a conclusion. And I highly recommend, that would be a fantastic collocation. For B2, great. To organize my writing, to provide a more formal structure to my review, even though that this is for a school magazine. For example, overall, I highly recommend The Trial of the Chicago 7 to anyone who enjoys thought-provoking films that provide insights into historical events. Okay, so this is thought-provoking films, films that make you think. So these kind of collocations, these kind of adjectives, in this case, I'm using a compound adjective, thought-provoking. Oh, by the way, I'm making available the reviews. All the reviews I'm describing today, you will be able to download them, okay? So this is the kind of high-level B2 that you would expect from a student. Of course, to get to this level, students need to be aware of all these elements using correctly and effectively descriptive language and following the different steps into crafting a good review. Stay tuned because in the following segment, I'm going to talk about a C1 case. I know I said about the C1 case for reviews, but I'm going to do the C2 as well. In the case of a C1, a film review would look like this. But first the question. You see the following announcement in an online magazine called MovieSite. History makes a comeback. The theme for next month's reviews is television series that are set in the past. Send us a review of a television series you have watched that is set in the past. What did you learn from watching it? How did you think the series could have been better? Would you recommend it to others? Write a review in 220 and 260 words. So my attempt at a C1 level review would be this one. I recently watched the television series The Crown, which chronicles the life of Queen Elizabeth II from her marriage in 1947 to the present day. Set in the past, the show provides a fascinating insight into the political, social, and cultural changes that took place in Britain during this period. The Crown is a beautifully crafted series with impeccable attention to detail, from the costumes to the sets and the music. The performances are exceptional, with Claire Foy and Olivia Colman delivering a mesmerizing portrayal of Queen Elizabeth II. Watching the show, I learned about the complex relationships with the royal family and how the monarchy has adapted to the changing world around it. However, I felt that the series could have delved deeper into some of the political issues of the time, particularly those related to the decolonization of the British Empire. While the show touches on these topics, I think they could have been given more attention, providing a more comprehensive picture of the period. Overall, I would highly recommend The Crown to anyone interested in British history or royal dramas. The show is well written, brilliantly acted, and expertly produced, making it a must-watch for any history enthusiast. While it could have been better by giving more attention to certain political issues, The Crown remains an excellent series that provides a captivating and thought-provoking look into the past. You can notice, for example, that I have recycled some of the vocabulary that I use for the B2. And this is obviously the kind of vocabulary that I want you to take from this episode. Now, in this review of The Crown, I have provided a combination of, again, description, narration, explanation, and evaluation as required in a review. When it comes to description, I have given a detailed description of the series, including its setting and the exceptional attention to detail in the production. In terms of narration, I have narrated the events that take place in the series, highlighting the complex relationships within the royal family and the changes taking place in Britain during this period. I also mentioned when the movie was set and, you know, all those things. In terms of explanation, I have explained what I learned from watching the series, particularly about the monarchy's adaptation to the changing world around it and how it provides insights into British history. And when it comes to evaluation, I have evaluated the series and recommended it to those interested in British history or royal dramas. While I think it could have been better by giving more attention to certain political issues, I still believe it is an excellent series that provides a captivating and thought-provoking look into the past. You can see that this is my evaluation. Okay, so additionally, I have used formal linking devices to organize my writing. I have used pronouns and adjectives, you know, all the qualifying nouns and relative pronouns, adverbs, you know, the whole thing. For example, I wrote, the performances are exceptional, with Claire Foy and Olivia Colman delivering a mesmerizing portrayal of Queen Elizabeth II. So this is a great collocation. Mesmerizing, by the way, mesmerizing is hypnotizing, but, you know, it has a little more charm to it, and it's a great word. Mesmerizing portrayal of Queen Elizabeth II. And another example from the review is, while it could have been better by giving more attention to certain political issues, The Crown remains an excellent series. So, The Crown remains, that verb is really good here. It goes really well. I have also used discourse markers such as however and overall. I started the conclusion with overall to manage the flow of my review and provide a more formal structure, I would say, to my writing. For example, however, I felt that the series could have delved deeper into some of the political issues of the time. And in the conclusion, I wrote, overall, I would highly recommend The Crown to anyone interested in British history or royal dramas. Now, do you want to know what a C2 review looks like? Well, this is the question. The question that I chose was, a specialized film magazine is running a story on the popularity of big budget film franchises, and they have asked readers to submit reviews of their favorite film from a popular franchise. Write a review giving a brief summary of the plot and explain why you think these types of films have such a broad appeal. Write a review between 280 and 320 words. And this is, I'm analyzing the question. You have to see that it is a specialized film magazine, so you have to be very accurate and very clever with the use of words, because you would expect a very specialized audience. And of course, it ends with a general appreciation. So the final question is why you think these types of films have such a broad appeal. And this is something in which you cannot, of course, you can use the movie that you're reviewing, but you have to discuss a more general approach to these kind of films. So do you want to know what I wrote? So this is my take for a C2 level review. As a huge fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I couldn't pass up the opportunity to share my thoughts on one of my favorite films from the franchise, Avengers Endgame. The film follows the remaining Avengers as they try to undo the damage caused by Thanos on the previous film, Avengers Infinity War. What sets Endgame apart from the other superhero films is its emotional depth and character development. It explores the aftermath of the events in Infinity War and the toll it has taken on the remaining Avengers. The film is a testament to the incredible performances of its ensemble cast, particularly Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans, who give their best performances in the franchise. But what makes big-budget films franchises so popular? I believe it's a combination of exciting action sequences, relatable characters, and epic storytelling. These films provide an escape from reality and transport audiences into a world of heroes and villains where anything is possible. They also appeal to a wide range of audiences, from children to adults, and offer a sense of community among fans who share a love for the franchise. Moreover, these films have a unique ability to create an emotional connection with their audiences. They tackle real-world issues and explore themes of heroism, sacrifice, and friendship. They also give a voice to underrepresented groups such as women and people of color, and provide positive representation on the big screen. In conclusion, Avengers Endgame is an excellent example of the power of big-budget film franchises. It combines thrilling action sequences, relatable characters, and epic storytelling to create an unforgettable cinematic experience. These types of films have such a broad appeal because they provide an escape from reality, offer a sense of community among fans, and tackle real-world issues in an entertaining and relatable way. Now, I know it sounds a little pompous, and I made some repetitions, to be honest, but this is something that you would probably expect at C2. Of course, I planned it, but I didn't take my time to revise it. I mean, I try to do it in terms of exam, the time that you have in the exam. Now, in this review of Avengers Endgame, I have provided a combination of description, narration, explanation, evaluation, as required. And when I described, for example, I gave a brief summary of the film's plot and highlighted the emotional depth and character development. In terms of narration, I narrated the events that take place in the film and described the performances of the ensemble cast, you know, Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man and Chris Evans as Captain America, of course. And when it comes to explaining, I have explained why I believe big budget film franchises like Avengers are so popular, citing their combination of exciting action sequences, relatable characters, and epic storytelling. I have also discussed how they create an emotional connection. with their audiences. So this is the kind of analysis that would be expected of a C2 learner. I topped it off with evaluation. I have evaluated the film and praised it for its ability to combine thrilling action sequences and, you know, the whole thing that I mentioned. Additionally, I have used formal linking devices. You know, I used wonderful expressions like what sets Endgame apart from other superhero films is its emotional depth and character development. Moreover, these films have a unique ability to create emotional connection, you know, things like that. And I have used discourse markers such as however, in conclusion, you know, you can find the example. So, you know, as I said, download the reviews and run your own analysis. Make sure that you understand what every paragraph is doing, the types of sentences that I'm using, the type of vocabulary. Make your own list of words that I have used in all the levels. So I think even if you're preparing for the C2, even from the B2, you can get a lot of useful information. Okay, so stay tuned because I'm going to continue with my take on the movie Shazam. So now my take on the most recent superhero film, Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Here it is. As a fan of the original Shazam film, I was excited to see the upcoming sequel, Shazam! Fury of the Gods. The film follows the young hero, Billy Batson, who, with the help of his superhero alter ego, Shazam, must once again save the world from evil forces. What sets Shazam! Fury of the Gods apart from the original is its darker and more complex storyline. The film explores the emotional struggles that come with being a superhero, as well as the deeper themes of family, loyalty, and sacrifice. The performances are once again excellent, with Zachary Levi perfectly balancing the comedic and dramatic moments of the film. I also appreciated the film's focus on diversity and representation, with a diverse cast and a strong female villain played by Helen Mirren. The film is a testament to the importance of inclusive storytelling in today's entertainment industry. Overall, I think that Shazam! Fury of the Gods is a worthy sequel that improves upon the original film in many ways. It offers an engaging and emotionally resonant story, exceptional performances, and a focus on representation that is much needed in today's world. I highly recommend this film to anyone who enjoyed the first Shazam film or is a fan of superhero movies in general. So there it is. Spoiler-free review of Shazam. And of course, that would be my take for an exam. I mean, if I was asked to write a review about this film, or if this is the film that I would choose to use in the exam, this would be my approach for the exam, for any Cambridge exam. I know that the movie has received some vitriol, you know, bad comments, you know, but that's a great word, vitriol. It's bad comments. And some media outlets have said that the movie didn't stand up for, you know, the original and that its opening weekend was disastrous. But quite honestly, I enjoyed the film. It has a lot of redeeming moments. Zachary Levi does a great job, and at times, he doesn't feel that the weight of the movie doesn't rest entirely on his shoulders. So give it a try. Go to the cinema. I think we're, after the pandemic, you know, left us, I mean, we're still in the aftermath of the pandemic, and I think that the movie industry is suffering quite a lot. So I think this is a great chance. Take your children, take your friends, family, brothers, sisters, and enjoy the film. I think the sense of family and being together, you know, togetherness, I think it's a great theme that is exploited very nicely by this film. So, do you want to know the movie reference I used in the beginning? It came from The Matrix, the film that came out in 1999 and was directed by the Wachowski siblings, Lana and Lily Wachowski. This particular scene is when Cypher, one of the crew members of Morpheus's ship, tells Neo that he needs to prepare for what's coming, and that's the meaning. This happened right after Neo takes the blue pill and wants to find out what the Matrix is. If you haven't seen this classic, you're wasting time. This is what it sounded like in the film.
What does that mean?
It means buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy, because Kansas is going bye-bye.
So what are the main takeaways from this episode? We talked about how to write a film review at different levels of English proficiency. We looked at examples of B2, C1, and C2 level reviews and identified the key elements that make up a good review. We also discussed why big budget film franchises are so popular and how they provide an escape from reality. I know it was one of the reviews, but I think it's a great topic to consider. And while at the same time we're tackling real world issues, you will have the three reviews available for download so you can do your own analysis and take note of the best pieces of vocabulary. Listen to the episode again if possible to read along with me and highlight the aspects I mentioned. Finally, I wanted to remind you that if you want to improve your English speaking skills, I invite you to join my TikTok account where I have speaking tasks that you can do and share with me. It's a fun and interactive way to practice your English and get feedback on your speaking. I promise I will put them in my podcast. So head over to my TikTok account and start practicing today. Remember, my email is podcast@languageteaching.es so you can send me your recordings. It doesn't have to be a video. It could only be enough with voice. So thank you very much for joining me this week. And until next week, bye-bye.